Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Chapter 1, the first chapter in Mark. Mark 1:21. John the Baptist has prepared the way for the Messiah, Jesus. Jesus gets baptized. The heavens open up and the voice of the Father, our God, says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit comes down onto Jesus in the form of a dove, descends and rests on him. And then Jesus is led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted by the enemy. But out of that, Jesus comes full of the Word, full of the Spirit. And he starts to minister. He starts to do what the Lord had sent him on this earth to do. So where we're going to start reading now in 21 is where Jesus has just started his ministry. He selected just a few of the disciples at this point, and then he goes on this day into Capernaum. Verse 21. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue. He entered the temple and was teaching. Verse 22, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. So he wasn't teaching as a normal teacher, as what the Jewish people were used to. They were surprised at his authority. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Verse 29. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. This is all so far in the space of one day. It says in verse 32, that evening at sundown, this day was the Sabbath. Now at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and oppressed by demons. All who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Imagine the whole city in Capernaum coming to one door. People that are possessed, people that are sick, people that need prayer, all coming. Verse 34, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Jesus knew it wasn't time for a full revelation of who he was. He knew the timing, so he did not want to be exposed. Verse 35, and rising very early in the morning. Now we're on to another day. Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Those are a couple of action-packed days in the life of Jesus. That's just over 2 days. He touched so many. There were so many ups and downs. Just imagine if there was a show called A Day in the Life of You. Just imagine A Day in the Life of Steve. a day in the life of Tawanda, a day in the life of Paz. Man, what would I want people to see about what my day looks like? What would I not want people to see? You see, as humans, we naturally like to look to the left, look to the right, look forward, look back. We look around us to see how people are doing around us, maybe to be encouraged, maybe to learn. But also we like to feel better about ourselves when we compare and go, oh, I'm doing better. Or we look at those that are behind us and like, yeah, you stay there, I'm ahead. Or we look at those that are ahead of us, go, I want to learn. Or sometimes in our sinful nature, we want to get better and do better. There can be that competition. But it's so easy to just want to look around for good reasons, but also for bad reasons. The world gets caught up. We can get caught up looking at celebrities, looking at famous people, looking at people's Insta reel, looking at people's lives. But do we really know the depth of their lives? Do we really know how they got there, what they sacrificed, what they lost, or what's really going on? Reality TV. Everyone here knows what I'm talking about. Reality TV shows. I remember growing up, there was Big Brother. 9, 10 people stuck in a house for days. They're being videoed the whole time. What do you think they're going to do? It's going to get crazy. But there's just something that draws us to wanting to see reality. But is it really reality? Marriage at First Sight. Is that reality? The Bachelor? Farmer Wants a Wife? There's just so much reality TV out there, but is it really? Because it's about filming people, ordinary people, continuously for entertainment and information. But actually, it's not really reality. We can get caught up looking at the wrong thing, focusing on the wrong person, when actually the best person, the only person we need to look at, how his life was lived as a model for us, is Jesus. So today's message is called A Day in the Life of Jesus. I was going to preach this about 4 weeks ago, but the Lord brought Andrew, put it on my heart for Pastor Andrew to preach. And as I got an opportunity to preach this week, I was like, I'm going to stay on this one. So God put this on my heart weeks ago. I'm not particularly speaking into any specific thing other than what Jesus has always called us to do. So a day in the life of Jesus, the best life lived on this earth is the life of Jesus. There's no better life lived than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What did his life look like? What did his life look like? Imagine that, a show. The day in the life of Jesus. We don't even need a show because we have the book of life. We have the book of life, and the life of Jesus is documented in the book of life. So we have the book of life. We see it in the Gospels. Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. His life impacts the rest of the New Testament. The life of Jesus was a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. His life here on earth is very significant. But what did it actually look like? Just imagine, just think about a day. We heard about a couple of days, but what did his life look like? What would his days look like? Proclamation of the gospel, proclamation of the kingdom coming. He's saying the kingdom is near. Jesus would heal people. Jesus would pray. He was casting out demons. Jesus was misunderstood by people. He was rejected by many. He was tempted, just like you and me. In Hebrews, we're told that we have a high priest who can relate with us. He was tempted in every way, but yet he was without sin. So he went through temptation. He went through disappointment. He hung out with sinners. He spent time with normal people. He spent time with the disciples. He was betrayed by Judas. He knew what suffering is. He knows what suffering is to be betrayed by your very own. He was questioned by many. He knew what death is. His own cousin, John, was beheaded. One of his good friends, Lazarus, died. And the Bible tells us that he wept. Jesus wept. But then Jesus himself, fully man and fully God, he rose Lazarus from the dead. There's so much in the Bible about Jesus that we can learn from how he lived. He got to hang out with Moses and Elijah whilst he was here on earth. How's that possible? Moses and Elijah, like from hundreds, thousands of years before, right? But he's hanging out with them, aka Transfiguration. Look it up in the Bible, it's there. What a day. His disciples are going, we can do this all the time, forget everyone else. Angels came to minister to Jesus. There's so much in the life of Jesus. He taught with so much authority. But you know what? A day in the life of Jesus cannot be contained in a book. His whole life can actually not be contained in a book or books, because John 21, 25, you don't have to go here, just write it down. I'll read it out to you. John 21, 25. This is the disciple whom Jesus loved. He documents many miracles and signs that Jesus had performed and Jesus' words. But at the end of the chapter of John, John says this, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Even the internet's not enough to document all the things about Jesus. The life of Jesus is an invitation for you and I to come and know our God, to know his love, to know him. There was so much to his life, ups and downs, highs and lows. But when we try to imagine a day in the life of Jesus, or just imagine his life, we can actually learn some things from how Jesus lived. He navigated so much. We go through different things, but Jesus went through so much. And most of what we know is only from 3 years or 3.5 years of his life. But there was so much in that time that he navigated. What can we learn from his life? So I'm going to share a few things with you this morning that I've been learning from just looking at the life of Jesus, just going back to the Gospels and hearing the good news again. The first thing is that Jesus started with God. Jesus started with God. In Mark chapter 1, where we read verse 35, it says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. See, Jesus depended on God. He fully depended on his Father. See, he was human like you and I, but he was also fully God. But he had a relationship with the Father that we get to have too now. But he relied on him so much that he would go away from the hustle and bustle. He would set a time. Even though he was walking with God all the time, tapping in, tapping out, whatever you want to call it, he was in communion with God. But he would start with the Father. He started with God. There's so much we can learn just from that one verse. He was dependent on God. How are you and I dependent on God? If Jesus started with God, why would we not do the same? Jesus, as part of starting with God, what I love is that he was full of the Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. See, where did Jesus come from? God sent him, but he was born through the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He came from the Holy Spirit. Everything that he did as a man on this earth was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Some like to call it his job description or what he came to do. Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19. Let's go there really quickly if you've got your Bibles. This shows us that everything Jesus did was by the Holy Spirit. Luke 4. We love to open our Bibles here. We take time, don't we, to flip through the Word. Because the Word of God is the what? Our foundation. So Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord." This is Jesus speaking. And the words he's actually speaking were words that had been prophesied about the Messiah by the prophet Isaiah. So this is what Jesus says. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's what he came to do. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. So much that he walks into a room and demons recognize the Spirit in him. They recognize Jesus. They know it's Jesus. They're yelling out, "What are you doing here?" See, God will give us a sensitivity to walk into spaces where we'll pick up on spiritual atmospheres and where we can actually pray into things that his Spirit would reign. And you'll sense the rejection or the resistance in some places you walk into, because if people are carrying something, if there's something in that space, they recognize. But we carry his presence and demons flee because of what we carry, being full of his Spirit. What I love is that Jesus actually made his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, available to all of us. Are you full of his Spirit? Are you fully immersed? It's not just when you become a Christian and that's it and you receive the Holy Spirit. We can be infilled again and again, refilled again and again, because there's so much happening in our world that we can focus on, but with actually an invitation to be filled with the Spirit daily. So Jesus was full of the Spirit. And I love that he even knew his timing, like I mentioned before. See, when you are filled with the Spirit, you're walking in step with the Spirit, God will direct you, will give you a sense of his timing. You'll know maybe right now in preparation, he's preparing me for something. Jesus went through a whole lot of preparation. He was full of the Spirit. He started with God. As starting with God, he was also full of the Word. Jesus was full of the Word. It was his anchor. It was his weapon. We see when he's getting tested by the enemy after the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4 talks about it. The enemy is tempting him, throwing things at him, even throwing the Word, but Jesus gives back the Word to him. And what does Jesus say? Matthew 4, verse 4, he says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father." That's what we're to live by. That's where we're to live from. By the Word, from the Word, through the Word. So he was full of the Word. His teaching was the Word, was based on the Word. He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So he was full of the Word. Do we read the Word? It's so easy to just come to church and love hearing the Word, but do we actually read the Word for ourselves? Because this is where the reality show is, the reality TV. This is where God shows himself. We can enjoy listening to people's podcasts, other Christians, other leaders, but that's secondhand revelation. God wants to fill you with his Word. If you don't have your own Bible, permission to walk out and go buy one right now. But we all need to have his Word. David says, "I've hidden your Word in my heart so that I may not sin against you." His Word is precious. And Jesus is the Word, was the Word, and was full of the Word. So we have the reality of God in the Word. So in the same way, just as Jesus started with God, we can start with God. We can be full of the Holy Spirit through what Jesus Christ did. We can be full of the Word. But it's not a guarantee. Even Jesus, for him, having the Spirit upon him, knowing the Word, being full of the Word, it still wasn't a guarantee for what he came to do. But the key was that he was obedient. See, Jesus was the man just like you and me. He could hear from the Father. He knew what the Father's will was, but he still had to obey. And we learn obedience through seeing what he did. Jesus was obedient. John 5, verse 19 says this. This is Jesus' words. So Jesus said to him, to them, people that were questioning him, the Pharisees, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." And then verse 30 in John 5 says, "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." See, Jesus was obedient to the Father's will. We can be full of the Spirit, full of the Word. We can be so passionate about God's presence, even about spending time with the Lord, but actually still not do what the Lord is asking us to do. But when you look at Jesus, he said, "My business is to do the Father's will." He was all about the Father's will. He sought it and he put it into action. Obedience to the Father's word. John 15:14 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." You are my friends if you do what I command you. You know, you look through the Word, through these Gospels, you just see that Jesus knew why he was here. His disciples are saying, "Hey, let's go over there to the, no, let's stay here. There's so many people." But he's going, "No, I'm just not going to be swayed by what people want. My time here is done. The Father is doing this. We're going to the next place." And that's where he would go. People were questioning what he was doing, hanging out with sinners. What did he say? He said, "I came to seek and save the lost." He knew what the Father had sent him to do. That's how he navigated the highs and the lows. That's what kept him going, because he knew the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's anointed him to do this and this and this, as we read before. Do you know what God has called you for? Do you know your purpose from the Lord? Because that's what is to motivate you. That's what is to compel you in your day-to-day. What is it that drives your life and your decisions? And it's a big question, and it's something we're to discover and a journey we're to go on. And the Word reveals some of that. But in your journey with God, he will reveal that. But the main way is through the Word. Why do I say that? Because Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, talks about it. It says, verse 1, it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, my brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, because of what Jesus has done, I appeal to you, therefore, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship." And then verse 2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed." Be transformed Be changed by the renewing of your mind. This is what renews our mind. And then it says, and you'll be able to test and approve the perfect will of God. We all want to know what God's will is, but it comes through meditating on the Word, through falling in love with the Word. And as you do that, you're feeding your spirit, and Jesus is talking to you, Jesus is guiding you, and He'll show you what you need to do. We can get so caught up on what's my big call, what's the big thing, and miss out on the daily assignments that Jesus has for you, which He'll reveal to you through the Spirit and through the Word. So Jesus was obedient. He was obedient. He started with God. He was full of the Spirit. He was full of the Word. And He was obedient. But the other thing that comes from obedience that we see is that Jesus actually suffered. See, obedience is not easy. I don't know what God has been asking you to do, what He's convicting you about, what He's challenging you on, some hard conversations you need to have with loved ones, some owning up to maybe something you might have done or said, asking someone for forgiveness, blessing someone, whatever it is. God's always speaking. He's always trying to get our attention. But the things we can say, God, speak to me. God, show me. But just because He speaks doesn't mean it's going to happen. You've actually got to respond. And what I love is that whatever God's asking you to do, He's not just going to let you do it by yourself. He actually gives you the strength, the grace, and the power to do it. So what we see as Jesus would just tune into what the Father was doing, He would go and do it. But like I said, some of it came with disappointment, some of it came with rejection, and a lot of it actually came with suffering. The suffering didn't take the joy away for Jesus. He said it was for His joy. So why all the suffering in Jesus' life and ministry? Because He knew what He came to do. He knew what the Father was saying, but because He was being obedient to the Father. Obedience doesn't lead to favor with man. Just because you say yes to what God's asking you to do doesn't mean everyone's going to like you and things are going to work out. It doesn't lead to being loved by everyone, but it leads to pleasing God. Obedience is the key to please God. We obey in faith. You do it in faith. God's saying do this. You don't even know what's going to come out of it sometime. You're praying for something else, but He says, no, just jump. Just do this. Just step out of the boat. You obey in faith, and God is glorified. It brings glory to God. Obedience involves saying no to yourself, no to some of your own desires. Selfish ambition. Even things sometimes you think are good for you, but just going to God. We've all said, I hope, most of us have said, Lord, I'm yours. I've given you my life. Whatever you want, whatever you will. But then He asks you to do something. It's like, oh, Lord, what do you mean? That wasn't part of the agreement. But the agreement was, Lord, I give you my life. And that's what Jesus did. He totally gave His whole life to fulfilling God's will, and He gave the Lord everything. Obedience can actually lead to disappointing others. I'm not talking about obedience to people, obedience to your loved ones. We're talking about God being the King of Kings, our Lord, standing up for God as Jesus did, meant people would reject Him, and that's so hard. When you have family members that might not agree with your love for God or decisions you're making. But that obedience could lead to disappointment. But then obedience could also be forgiving someone. If God's saying forgive someone, you'd think as Christians, it's common sense to forgive, right? But for some of us, we're like, Lord, do you really want me to forgive them? You tell me. But the word says, like Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. So us walking daily in forgiveness, no matter what someone has done, and it's so hard, and yes, it's a journey, but we're called to forgive, and that's part of being a being. That's the suffering. Jesus suffered. Look at how Jesus suffered on the cross. But even whilst he was suffering, he led someone to the Father. One of the thieves there on the cross. He leads him to the Father. He forgives him. But even whilst he's being killed, being crucified, he forgives the ones that are crucifying him. He says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave whilst he was suffering. Imagine that. Forgiving someone whilst they're doing something wrong to you. Man, we can learn so much from Jesus. For most of us, for myself, I'm like, I need to deal with that. I need some time. I'll forgive them later. But there's something we can learn in taking this to God, whatever situation you're in. Is forgiveness part of your day-to-day? Is forgiveness part of your day-to-day? This is part of being obedient to God. If Jesus forgave, why can't we? And he forgives unconditionally. And it's not natural to forgive unconditionally. But that's why we have the supernatural presence of God in us. That's why he's given all of himself to us, so that he can take us through that process. Love, 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 love. We're to confront people with the truth in love. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So obedience leads to God's will being fulfilled, and his will is always motivated and centered on love. Jesus suffered, but God was glorified. The gospel, the truth of the love of God is that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to live on this earth, to show us how to live, and then he gave his life, he died, so that we could have what he had. He resurrected, but he suffered so that we could have what he had and what he has now. What is that? Access to the Father. That's why he suffered. See, when we're suffering in different ways and God's in it, it's for his glory. It's for what are you going through right now that you could go, well, actually, this is for his glory. And you can hold on to that God is there with you. But Jesus actually gave himself up so we could have what he had and what he still has. And now we get to be in communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by the Holy Spirit that's in our hearts. A day in the life of Jesus. So much that we can learn. Jesus suffered. And what I love that Jesus said to all of us through the book of John, John 16:33. See, when we go through suffering, when we go through crisis, God's not surprised. Jesus knew it would happen in different ways. He's with us in the now. John 16:33 says, in this world, you will have many trials, you will have many tribulations. But take heart, for I have overcome. If the band could please come up. Jesus has overcome. So there's a bit of a dance involved when you think about the life of Jesus and what he's given us. See, he started with God all the time. He was with God. He depended on God. He was full of the Spirit, full of the Word. He was obedient. As you hear the Lord speak to you about different things, as you walk day to day being someone who loves God, there's times where you won't get it right. There's times where you do things in your own strength. But the dance is to stay in step with the Spirit. He's given us His Holy Spirit. His presence is available. So we're to keep in step with the Spirit. If we are full of the Spirit, Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Like I said before, just because you're hearing from God, just because you love His presence, just because you get in the Word, that's awesome. It's a great start. And it's not like we're ever going to get to a finish. It's a dance with the Lord. But that's not a guarantee that the Father is pleased. The Father is pleased when you give Him your life. The Father loves you anyway. But what pleases Him is our faith, when we actually say yes to what He's calling us to. When we actually say, Lord, what are You doing right now where I am? What are You doing in my family? What are You doing in my workplace? When we take that step by Jesus to just pause in a moment and say, Lord, I recognize that You're working. But what are You actually doing? Show me what You do. I want to join in that. And as He challenges you, as you get into the Word, as He speaks to you, then actually saying yes to that and doing it by strength, God receives all the glory. He receives all the glory. We're to stay in step. Can we all stand this morning? The Word says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. It's by His Spirit. We have access to His Spirit. We have access to His presence daily, 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 daily. So a day in the life of Jesus is actually not enough. Because He gave His life. He gave His whole life. He didn't just give us a day. We can look at a day, we can learn, but actually there's an invitation to walk with Him daily, to look at His life, His whole life in the Word, to fall in love with the Gospels again, to set time aside to just get into the Word. And there's so much of the Word that you read it over and over again, and think, oh, maybe how am I even going to remember all that? But as you do that, you're feeding your spirit. And when the right time comes, where that Word is necessary, the Holy Spirit has a way of bringing it back up and speaking to you, equipping you for the moment. So don't discount any part of the Word. Don't discount that you're not going to remember it. Something is always happening in the background when you rely on God.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.